chapter 2, if we could. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" The Bible says that the wise men came to worship him. That'll be our title today, to worship him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and the privilege to open it together. Lord, especially as we think about the incarnation today, may you stir our hearts with the gratitude of what you did for us in becoming a man and dying as our substitute and paying for our sins, rising again. Hallelujah. And Lord, may we be reminded today how blessed we are to be your children, and also be reminded how important it is that we tell others this beautiful story. So speak to our hearts, every will and every one, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that these wise men came from the east. It doesn't tell us what country they came from, but the east is where Daniel was held captive. When you look at the book of Daniel, he was taken by Babylon, which would have been east of Israel. And who knows, they might have had access to Daniel's writings, because that's the only book in the Bible that was not written in Hebrew or Greek, but it was written in Chaldean, which was the language of that region at the time. And the Bible says down in verse 10 here of Matthew that when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They came with a purpose to worship the king. Amen? Now, we're going to talk more about it, but this worship would have been forbidden. They would have known enough of the New Testament to know when and where, which we'll talk about. But they would have also known from the Old Testament that to worship anyone but God was forbidden by God. Which means that they understood, now that most of the Jews didn't understand, but these wise men understood that they were coming to worship God in the flesh. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But it was very clear in the Old Testament, if you want to go to Exodus 34 and verse 14, that mankind is only to worship Almighty God of the Bible. Amen? And to worship any other god is an affront, is a sin, is blasphemy against the God of heaven. Notice Exodus 34, 14. "For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." One of Jehovah's names is Jealous. But that's not a negative jealous as it is with mankind. That is a righteous jealousy that he is the only God, and that no other God is to ever be worshipped. These wise men would have understood this because they obviously were familiar with some of the Old Testament scriptures. So they wouldn't have known where to come and when to come. And we'll talk more about the worship part later, but they came to worship. They came to worship Jesus Christ, and we saw where they bow down. But they're asking here in verse 2 of Matthew 2, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now this word "born" means he was actually born of a woman. Amen? And this is part of the beautiful Christmas story that God became a man. We call it the incarnation, God becoming a man. And why did he do this? For us. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, if you would. "God became a man for the express purpose of living a perfect life, that he might die as the perfect substitute in our place and to pay for our sins," which only a righteous man could do. Otherwise, he would have had to pay for his own sins. "But God prophesied of this birth, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Where is he that is born? Just notice it says she would bear a son. Notice Isaiah 9:6 while you're in Isaiah. Go over two chapters. Chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. So there it is again. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those will be the name of the one that would be born that Isaiah wrote about centuries before, that he would be born. But he wouldn't just be born, he would be born a king. Amen? King of the Jews. While you're in Isaiah 9:6, look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Notice the word throne there. It's talking about the prophecy that God gave King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that someone would sit on the throne of David forever. Jesus Christ in the flesh was a descendant of David. And he would be given this throne. And look at it. And upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Jesus Christ was born a king. The king of the Jews. And one day when he returns, look at Revelation 11 verse 15. He will be the King of Kings. He already is, but he will actually exercise this kingship here on earth. Revelation 11 verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And if you look in Revelation 19, it tells us that his name will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our Creator became a man. By being born of a virgin, so he would not inherit the sin nature from man. But he also came to be born as a king. Now, if you go to 1 Timothy 3:16, the wise men, as I shared, understood that it was wrong to worship any god, anything other than Almighty God of the Bible, Jehovah of the Old Testament. And when they came to worship. Notice 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? We don't need any more than that. Now, there are literally hundreds of scriptures that prove the deity of Jesus Christ. And by deity, I mean that he was God. But this alone, this is what the Christmas story is all about. God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man. There is no greater story on earth than that story. Amen? That the creator of the universe, the creator of all, loved us enough to become a man himself that he might die for us. No greater story. So this word worship, this is our theme today. The Bible says they came to worship him. Again, they would have understood the scriptures. Jesus Christ, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, he said himself, he quoted the Old Testament when he was tempted by the devil. Remember, the devil said, I want you to fall down and worship me. This is what the devil's always wanted since his fall, is to be worshipped as God. And this was Jesus' answer, Matthew 4:10. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Here he's quoting from Exodus and says, you're only to worship the God of heaven. Now, the devil already knew this. But ever since New Testament days, man has known this, the angels have known this, that only God is to be worshipped. Look at Acts chapter 10. This is a story where Peter, who is the main character of the first half of the book of Acts, some people tried to worship Peter. Acts 10:25. And look what happened. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Cornelius didn't know any better. He was told to go find Peter and to hear the truth of the gospel from Peter. But when he saw Peter, he thought, well, this is the one that's sent by God. And he fell down, he worshiped. Peter picked him up literally and said, no, do not worship me. Over in Acts chapter 14, if you want to turn there, verse 13, Paul and Barnabas faced the same thing. Acts chapter 14 and verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was for their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and say, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. They were actually going to burn sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas because they had brought the gospel and people were believing on the Lord and people were getting saved. They said, whatever you do, don't do this. So we see Peter denying worship. We see Paul denying worship. But even the angels, if you go to Revelation and chapter 22, John, of course, who wrote the book of Revelation, was given a vision, which he wrote down for us. And in the vision, he was allowed to go and see heaven. Revelation 22, verse 8. Notice it says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not. This is an angel of God, a very powerful being. In the Old Testament, we see one killing over 150,000 people in one night. That's how powerful they are. And yet here we see John falling at the feet of an angel. And what does he say? Do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. What does he say? Worship God. Only God is to be worshipped. And these wise men would have known this. And the Bible says they had come with one express purpose, and that was to find and to worship the child that was born. Well, my friend, you and I should be worshipping every day. Amen? Not just on Sundays, but we should be getting in our prayer closet and worshipping the Lord every single day. He's worthy of it. And we're commanded to do it. Let's look at some verses on that. Psalm 29 and verse 2. Psalm 29 and verse 2. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen? That's a command. Look at Psalm 95 verse 6. Psalm 95 verse 6. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and... I'm sorry, wrong verse. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I was reading Revelation 15, 4. We'll get there later. God is a spirit, the Bible says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth in John 4, 24. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, living in you. And through that Spirit, we are to worship the Lord, who is the Spirit. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2:10. We should worship the Lord every day. Bow down. Kneel down. And worship the Lord. These wise men, they came, and when Herod heard, verse 3 of Matthew 2, he was troubled. Why? Because he was the king. At that time, he was the appointed king of the Jews. He ruled that region, and technically he was the king, as appointed by Caesar of Rome. And so here he hears about another king. So of course he was troubled, and we know later he actually had all the babies killed, remember? just to try to get rid of the threat to his throne. But he gathered the chief priests and he gathered the scribes. These are Jews. He gathered them together in verse 4 and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And you know, the Old Testament gave the answer to every single question about the birth of Jesus Christ. The four W's and the H, right? We always should ask the four W's and the H to get the answer. Here it says where. Well, how would they know where? Because God told them where. And it wasn't Jerusalem. Everybody would have expected it to be the city of David, the city of peace, Jerusalem. No. God told us, Micah chapter 5, turn there if you would, the exact little town where Jesus would be born. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. There it is. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. A little town called Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before this event, God wrote it in the scriptures. The where. But he also gave us the who. Amen. We saw that in Isaiah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We also saw in Isaiah the why. He came to be the King of the Jews. But also in Isaiah 53, he came to what? Die for our sins. And the how, that he would be born of a virgin. We read that in Isaiah 7:14. God even gave us the when. All of it was in the scriptures. And that's in Daniel chapter 9. You can read it sometime. He even laid out, Daniel 9:25, exactly how many weeks of years it would be from the command for Nehemiah and Ezra to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. They could count forward 69 weeks of years from that date and get the date of the coming Savior. Which would have been another reason why the wise men chose this time. So all of it was laid out in the Bible. Where Jesus would be born, why he would come, who he would be, where he would be born, even how he would be born of a virgin. And then he quotes Micah chapter 5 verse 2 there in verse 6. That Jesus came to be, as it says there, a governor. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. He shall be great. This is a prophecy of Jesus. Shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now these wise men, they came to worship him. Amen. Now, I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but we don't know how many wise men there were. Even the song that we just sang in the choir talks about the three wise men. The Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. It just says wise men from the east. Yes, they presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there could have been 20 of them. We don't know. But what we do know is these are wise men from the east, who came to do one thing, and that is to worship Jesus. Amen? We are come, it says there, to worship. And it says that they were exceeding glad when they found Jesus. And of course, God then warned them not to go back to Herod once they found Jesus, because they knew Herod had evil intent and wanted Jesus killed. So they found Christ, they worshipped him, they presented unto him the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and then they left off in a different direction. They came to worship Jesus. That's what Christmas should be about, worshiping Jesus. Amen? We should be worshiping Jesus, as we read there in Psalms. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Look at Revelation 15:4, which I tried to read earlier. Revelation chapter 15, 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy for all nations. This is a prophecy of the kingdom yet to come, shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. God is holy. Man is not holy. God is a judge. Sin must be judged. That's what the Christmas story is about. That a holy God cared enough about unholy man to come to earth and be that righteous man, the only righteous man, that he might pay for our sins so that sin could be judged at the cross instead of in hell. That's what the Christmas story is about. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. Never forget that. That we deserve hell. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. We deserve hell. And the only reason, if you're a Christian, you're not going to hell is because of what our Creator chose to do at Christmas time. And that's to become a man, live a perfect life, die as our substitute, rise again to show he had power over death, and offer through what he did eternal life. That's the Christmas story. Could there be a greater story than sinful man being rescued from hell? Than our Creator loving us that much? And for that reason, just as the wise men, who knows how far they traveled, who knows how long it took them to get there. In those days, it would have taken months. They came to worship. If you're born again Christian today, it's all about Him. Amen? It's to be all about Him. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When we come to church, we should come with the express purpose of lifting Him up. It's about Him. You look at our hymns. What do we sing about? We sing about Him. Amen? About worshiping the Lord. And I think we need to spend more time doing that very thing in our prayer closets. The Bible says they came to worship Jesus. And you know, today, in John 4:24, it says, God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today, I'm sure it grieves God. How many people call something worship that it's actually just a party and a rock concert? I can't even imagine. Because the Bible says the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. And yet it's all about the flesh now these days. And we can't do that. We can't worship God in the flesh. We can only worship God in the spirit because He is a spirit. But we need to worship the Lord every single day. Amen. If you're a born again Christian, I hope that that's what you do every single day. You get alone with God and you fall down and kneel, as we read, and you worship Him like the wise men. The Bible says they kneeled down, they gave gifts to this baby. Well, we need to do the same. If you're not a born again Christian, but you know God is real and you want to be sure you're going to heaven, listen, in just a moment you have an opportunity to come and say, I want to make sure I'm born again. Just do that, and we'll have someone take God's word, the Bible, and show you from the gospel, the Bible, how you can know today you're born again, you're going to heaven, you have eternal life. You must come to Christ, and He will save you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word and this beautiful truth that these men traveled so far to worship You. And Lord, I pray that we, in our homes, in our church, whenever possible, we would worship You. For You are worthy of all worship. And I pray that that would be a life-changing thing for us, Lord, that we would learn to worship Almighty God, the One who gave us everything through Jesus. And Lord, again, if there's someone here not saved, I pray they would get saved today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.